listen for the word of God found in the book of Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, beginning in the 1st verse. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the immeasurable riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Let the church say amen. Amen. Friends, we continue our sermon series, Light Shines, and we are grateful to Pastors Ben and Will on their joint teaching time last Sunday and their message, The Game of Thrones, which I've never seen still. They provided political milieu, historical background, which led up to Joseph fleeing Egypt with Mary and the baby Jesus. I don't know if you were here, but they sat right up here and did a joint teaching time, and it was very, very helpful, very informative, and I'm grateful for that setup. Today, we observe Epiphany that happened on Friday. The word Epiphany means appearing or manifestation. In Western Christianity, Epiphany marks the visit of the Magi to the Christ child. The more familiar text for Epiphany is Matthew's narrative of the Magi presenting gifts to the baby Jesus, and that's the text that the kids are going to be focused on today upstairs in the new kids' worship service. I challenge us to open ourselves to a complementary text, the writing of the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus. It is there where Paul unpacks the mystery of God's plan that is manifested in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. With gratitude for a new year. With gratitude for your amazing, immeasurable gifts. We pray that we would now open up our hearts to receive that which you would have us to receive, and then drop it to our hands and then to our feet and out to our hands that we might act. For it is in the name of Jesus the Christ we pray. Amen. I am God's gift. Sit with that for a moment. That seemingly egotistical statement. I am God's gift. I'm sure we've heard that phrase before. He think he's God's gift to, and generally the idiom ends with, to women. Yet you fill in the blank, men or women. In my attempt to discover the origins of this little ditty, I can't begin to tell you some of the stuff that I discovered. Most of it not appropriate to mention here in church. I did find two things to mention. One might be a little iffy, but I'm willing to test it out. I'll know by your response. The first one, a fiction writer posted, "The uglier the guy, the more he thinks he's God's gift to women." Yeah, that was a judgment call. Then this one, I think this will go over better. A cartoon pictured Jesus walking by, and behind some rocks were two characters with horns and one of those pitchforks in the backdrop. And this is what the caption read. "Just look at him. He totally thinks he's God's gift to the world." To mention again the Magi, they brought forth gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh and presented them to the baby Jesus. These gifts represented tremendous signs of foreshadowing. The gifts of gold and spices had value, a determined measure associated with them. That's important to note for the context of this message today. In the Ephesian text that Ling read for us, thank you, Ling, the Apostle Paul begins, "This is why I, Paul, am a prisoner of Christ." It's important to understand that during this time of writing that Paul wrote, he was legally a prisoner of Caesar. He had been arrested because he was charged with sedition or treason against the emperor. There he was awaiting trial. Yet Paul knew that he was bound for the sake of Jesus Christ, and in and through all, he was solely loyal and devoted to Jesus. In this text, Paul is revealing the mystery of God's plan, which, like for the Jews, the Gentiles too are co-heirs and part of the same body. We all share in the promise of God, and God's grace is for all. Paul goes on to write in verse 8, "God gave his grace to me, the least of God's people, to preach the good news about immeasurable riches of Christ. I believe through immeasurable riches of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and by God's grace, flow immeasurable gifts." Immeasurable. Something incapable of being measured. Indefinitely extensive. If then this is the understood definition of immeasurable, then there absolutely is no way that we can measure or put a concrete cost on God's grace. Yes, sisters and brothers, because God's grace is freely given, it does not mean that it is cheap. In his book, The Cost of Discipleship, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German Lutheran theologian, expounds the issue of costly grace and cheap grace. Grace came with a significant price. It cost Jesus his life. Bonhoeffer writes, "Through God's grace, we have these immeasurable gifts. So what are we to do with gifts?" Now, we are effectively on the tail end of the Christmas season, and we're in the first season, the first Sunday of Epiphany. And I suspect there may be a few of us that are still thinking about the gifts we received. Some of us are happy, some of us not so much. So I suggest, and you can have some other ones, but I'm suggesting there are three things that we can do with our gifts. One, we can loathe them. I mean, I know that's a strong word, but there are some gifts that we absolutely do not like. And some gifts that we receive that we just really just get a little irked about them. I'm not going to ask if anybody out here received that kind of gift, but I want you to know in my more seasoned years, I do a responsible thing now as I search to find out how to handle unwanted gifts. Checking out old and seasoned etiquette gurus like Emily Post and Miss Manners and Dear Abby, and then there's a few other newer contemporary folk. I found a couple of well-meaning suggestions, including being nice and keeping the gift, donating the gift to charity, or politely exchanging it. I was really happy to see this one, exchanging it, because a few years back, and I mean a few years back, I did exactly this. I acknowledge that I went about doing it the wrong way. So let me just tell you the brief story. There I am in the restaurant with three of my good girlfriends. And we're sitting, having a wonderful meal, just wonderful meal. And then the gifts started flowing. They gave me some gifts for my birthday. I was just really excited to open them until I got to one. Beautiful package, nice bow. Always wary about that, right? Always wary about that. So TC, I opened up the package. And in the package was a warm-up suit. I love warm-up suits. I'd never seen one like this before. It was peach. It stopped about right here. And from here down had lace. The arm stopped about here, and from here down had lace. Then you get to the pants. It stopped about here, and from here down it had pink or peach lace. Then, oh my, you turn it on the back side, and right across the bottom was the name of the manufacturer, I guess, or the store in which it came from. And in my mind, I was smiling and going, oh dear God, how am I going to handle this? And in my mind, when she asked the question, do you like it? In my mind, I was thinking, how am I going to say this? But what came out was expletive no. And it got out and I couldn't catch it. To which she then looked, and then you know the look when somebody doesn't like something that you give them. Then I felt horrible. I mean horrible. Not horrible enough to go to the store, however, and to exchange it. So I get to the store the next day, and I exchange it, and the nice woman behind the counter saw the gift, and she immediately told me who bought the gift, because my friend frequents this store all the time, and she said, oh, your friend, I'm not going to say her name, your friend bought one in every color. How did I not know that? Pink and peach and yellow and baby blue. I just for fun, when I got home that night, I mean, just for fun, I tried it on, right? I tried it on. I looked a hot, lacy mess in that thing. Here's the second thing that we can do with the gift. We can look at it. We can either put it away or put it up and admire it. I have family and friends that collect things, and every once in a while when they get or give a gift in the collection, they put it away on the shelf or on a bookcase or on the mantle and admire it, hoping that in 5, 10, or 20 years later, the gift will bring some kind of significant value. I see some people understand that. I understand this. Other times, me included, I have received a gift and put it away, only to advance a few years later where I take it and donate it or I re-gift it. Somebody has re-gifted. I know I'm not the only one in here. Then there's the third thing that we can do with gifts. We can live them. The full expression of what it means to live. I bet if some folks got a car, you're living that pretty good. You're driving it. Or one of those nice, big, 60-inch flat-screen TVs that you're watching that. Then there are gifts that actually flow from God. The Apostle Paul writes about gifts in his letter to the church in Corinth. Listen to this word. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of services, but the same Lord. There are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We know that some folks have the great gift of academia. Some folks have the gift of artistry. Some folks have the gift of playing sports. Some folks have the beautiful gift of singing. We have some of those folk here. With these gifts, some folks do research. They write books. They put on concerts. They do a lot of things, and they make a difference that has significant impact in our community and even in our world. I'm thinking today of a person named Marion Wright Edelman. I mention her with such profound gratitude, respect, and honor. She lives her gift every single day, championing and advocating for the rights of children. Children that other folk would have or already have cast aside. Her gift that she has lived passionately has touched the lives of thousands upon thousands of people, children and adults alike. We know she touched the life of Secretary Hillary Clinton. There would be no way to measure the impact that this civil rights children's advocate, quintessential seed sower, has had. It is in her life's calling to live her gift. Oftentimes, we spend more time figuring out and assessing quantifiable claims on the work, i.e. the gift, than we do living it. Everything cannot be judged by an amount or a size. Some of you may have seen Pastor Ginger's Facebook post yesterday from her daily practice of devotion. In her post, she quoted American theologian Frederick Buttner. In part, here is her post. The temptation is always to reduce life to a size, a bowl of cherries, a rat race, menial assets. Even to call it a mystery smacks of reductionism. It is the mystery. We're all in it together, or it in us. Life is it. Life is with. Jesus' very life cast a light for us to shine. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "Arise, shine. Your light has come. The Lord's glory has shone upon you." Sisters and brothers, in this life, walk in the light, the beautiful light. Live your gifts. Now, I know some folks still have moments of anxiety and fear of what is to come. I know that there are folk who are still in great shock and dismay over the results of the election. We got to talk about it. Get ready. We are less than 2 weeks out from the swearing in of our 45th president in this country. Some folks will rejoice, and some folks not so much. The fact is, President-elect Trump will soon be President Trump for all of America. I believe it is our spiritual duty. Now hear me. I believe it is our spiritual duty to hold our new president in prayer and hold our country in prayer. It's our duty to do that. And we will have times here where we will join and pray together. And yes, there will be times when we need to be on the forefront of activism. It is our moral and spiritual duty to to show up and practice sacred resistance. And we will. Some of us will be doing that tomorrow on Moral Monday here in D.C. And please now know this. No election, no political posturing, no tweets, no rants, or the way Paul puts it in Romans 8, 38 and 39, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Earlier I proclaimed, I am God's gift. Why? Because I am an heir of God's promise. And so are you.